Psalms 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 46, verse 2. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river. You can stop right there and preach. There's a river. You can just stop right there. But no, I don't want to delay what I want to say today. The streams whereof shall be made glad, the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in thy right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted.
If you read the Bible, there's ways that God speaks to you. Other night I was riding, it was lightning everywhere. And there was a streak of lightning, honestly, from that end, as far as I could see, to that end, as far as I could see, there was lightning across there. God speaks to us. He's still God. He speaks through stuff like that.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolation he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in as under. He burneth the chariot in the fire. He be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Go back to verse number 10. It says, be still and know that I am God. I want to preach to you this morning a subject entitled, when you're losing control and it seems like everything is out of control, that's when you're in control. Because, see, friends, what God is trying to do to you and try to get to me is in every aspect of your life, trust him. Now, we're a generation that speeds up everything. We're in a hurry. Our kids are doing that. Our kids are acting 12, 13, 14, pregnant. Wow. Everybody's trying to speed up life. Then you get older, it's always speeding up, speeding up, speeding up, speeding up. And sometimes when you're out of control is when God is in the most control. And you don't realize it, but what God is doing in your life and what God is doing in my life, God's trying to form us into his image. And God's trying, and so God says, be still. How many of us, especially us adults, don't raise your hand, but how many of us raise your hand and say, preacher, I've got ahead of God a few times. Have you ever tried to help God out? I mean, like, you're going to help God out, get out of your debt, get out of your problems, get out of that. No, I think God's a little bit smarter than we are. Amen. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Now, I don't know what you're going through today. I have no idea where you are. Sometimes silence, being still, that's when God is doing the most in your life, and you don't realize that. And when it feels like everything's out of control, feels like everything is just messed up. What's next? What else is going to happen to me? That's really when you're in control. Because you start crying out to God. Amen. And a lot of times in our lives, when everything's going good, we sort of forget God. And God has to sort of, okay, I'm still over here. So I'm going to deal with that. Be still and know that I am God. And I want them to sing a song, He's Still God. Wherever you are today, whatever's going on in your life, there's a God in heaven who's interested in everything going on in your life. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter. You can go to God. God can do so many things. And I'm going to show you when God is in control in your life. And folks, today, we have every opportunity to worry. This world out here, it's central. This world out here, it's downsizing God. They want to bring God down to our level. They want to bring God down here. He's just a buddy. No, he's God. He is the God. He's interested in your life.
In every aspect, not just church. Outside of the walls, He's interested. He's interested in your children. And sometimes we forget it. I'm not a TV person. But if you sit around and watch the news, it's going to scare you. And I listen to a golf channel, that XM 93. I listen to golf when I travel. And they had some advertisement on there that says, America's doomed. America's just doomed. It's terrible. I mean, they got seminars come to know what to do when it's doomed. Look. We believe the rapture could happen in the morning. That's 7 years. And then we're coming back, and there's 1,000. I know this world's going to tick at least another 1,000 in 7 years, so why are you worried? All God's going to do is take us to heaven. Al Gore can't blow up his world with hairspray. You can't do that. But if you listen to him, and it gets in your life, and the next thing you know, you're panicked. God told me the other day, he said, Jimmy, I've started buying rations. I said, what for? Well, America's doomed. America's doomed. I said, yeah, she's cursed. There's a sin curse on her because of Adam's transgression. There's a sin curse on the whole world, not just America. That'll always be till we raptured come back, and then God's going to set up his rulership on this earth. So don't let the world out there scare you. And it can. But when it's out of control, guess who's in control? He's not nervous. He knows his schedule. What we need to do, folks, is just walk with God all the time. And God says, when things are out of control, I'm in control. And I know where you are. And so I want God to do that. But I want you to hear this song. It's one of my favorites that the girls sing. And God is still God. Would you sing it, girls, please?
I thought that this would happen to anyone but me. I never dreamed that I would carry this heavy burden on my knees. I never thought that I'd be standing just where I stand today. I've never known this kind of heartbreak. I've never felt this kind of pain. But you're still God when my eyes have cried a million tears. You're still God when my last hope has disappeared. You're still God, and I know you'll make a way somehow. You're still God, and you're holding me right now. My heart can't find the answers or the reason for these trials. But Lord, I know your ways are perfect, and you've been watching all the while. For to me you've proven faithful time and time again, and I'm learning more to trust you even when I don't understand. For you're still God when my eyes have cried a million tears. You're still God when my last hope has disappeared. You're still God, and I know you'll make a way somehow. You're still God, and
Thank you, girls. Mm-hmm. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. What the world's going to see out here is the way you live. You can talk your Christian life all you want to, and I think we should share our gospel. And we should share our faith to everybody we see. But I tell you what the people don't catch is what you live. Amen. How you live it. The way you live it. And see, trust in God, even, they watch us. They watch all of us, people around us. Thank God when I was 22 years of age, there's a guy on the flight line, his name was David Hall. David Hall lived the Christian life. He wasn't a jerk. He wasn't such a good person. He never talked to people who were lost. You get so righteous as you're not good even for yourself or nobody else. But I think we ought to be, you know, Christ would go to people that they say, how can you talk to me? You shouldn't even be around me. He said, you don't know who I am. I'm living water. See, that's what we ought to do. And so we ought to do that. And we're showing them how Christ works in our life. Even when everything falls apart. A good friend of mine, and they may have been in this church with us, because I used to travel with them quite a bit, and they had a girl's home. And the man messed up his life. I would have never dreamed it. If there's anybody in the world, I'd never dreamed it. It wouldn't have been him. And it's just devastated his wife. And it's devastated me. But his wife is as godly, as great a lady as you ever want to meet. But her world fell apart. Now, what happens when I'm out of control? What happens? And that's when I feel like God helps us. And he's in control more than we are. And sometimes we get that to where we want to do that. Let me tell you what I feel like God's in control in your life. God's in control in our silences. You know, sometimes God is working the most when you don't hear him. Sometimes God's behind the scene working out things when you don't even know it. You're praying, you're groaning, your soul inside is just being sort of knots and everything, but you're saying, God help me, God help me, God help me. I can't. And sometimes God is working even in silence when you don't even hear him. Have you ever prayed for something and give up praying? How do you know God's not behind the scene being real quiet working it out? How do you know that God's not touching somebody over here and they can work it out and they'll come to you? That's how Miss Crystal came on board with the first staff person I had. We started praying, and God is time. I got a building fixed, which we can use. And how is it going to be? I don't have the money. But there's a church called us from Bristol, Tennessee, and said, Brother Clark, our church is praying about, if God will give us the money, we're going to pay for your staff member for a whole year, the first one. Now, that's the kind of stuff you don't even pray about. Can you imagine me calling Brother Jim and saying, hey, man, how about paying for a staff member for a year? He said, well, how about sending her down here? We will. Okay. Hey, that's the kind of stuff you just don't go to somebody to ask. But even in silence, God was working. And Miss Crystal's Christian school that she was working in, most of all the students decided to go homeschooling. But the whole time that this church was praying, there was a guy overseas. And Miss Crystal came with her pastor and his wife came and talked to me, told me about her desires. And I knew Miss Crystal, but I didn't know her. And she said, I want to stay in the Christian work. And says, I said, well, it's amazing. I'm praying for a staff member right now. That church was praying. We were praying. Miss Crystal started praying. And there's a guy overseas, somebody died, he had inherited a bunch of money. He sent some money to that church, that was his home church, and said he'd pay for it. And he sent enough money to that church, gave it to us, and we hired Miss Crystal. When it's out of control, out of your hands, God's working in silence. Frank Pippa's a good friend of mine. Frank's doing very well right now. He's in heaven. But we were great friends. I wish you could have met him. One of the funniest guys you'd ever seen in life, but a real Bible teacher. But he and I
We'd get on the phone, especially when we're traveling at night, and like tonight, going home, and I was by myself. We'd get on the phone and talk. We just talk and talk and talk. But Brother Pittman, he couldn't make up his life in his life. Does he want to be an evangelist or does he want to be a pastor? He'd get torn between that. He'd pastor a while, and then he'd go into evangelism a while. And he'd pastor a while and go into evangelism. It's just something about him. He couldn't get it settled. In his latter years, though, he settled in evangelism. But prior to that, he felt like God wanted him to move from West Virginia to Texas. That's not a good deal because West Virginia's got mountains. Texas don't have mountains. It just blows. You know, I mean, it's hot and it's like a furnace out there. And old Frank wound up from West Virginia out there. And after a few years there, he got discouraged. And he said, I miss God again. That's what he would say. I miss God again. So one night he got out there behind his church. He was out in the field out there, and he took his shoes off, and he was out in the field. And you don't have to clap. God can hear you without even speaking. God knows what you're thinking. But he was out there, and really he was sort of complaining to God. Hey, you brought me out here to Texas. I don't like it. Sort of. I hope he wasn't trying to hit God. But anyway, he was doing all this kind of nonsense, just out there by complaining to God and complaining about, you're never around me. Seemed like you're not here. You left me. Well, the next day he was telling one of his men in the church, said, last night I just went out in the field out there, took my shoes off and sort of complained to God a little bit. He said, you took your shoes off. He said, yeah, man, I took them off. I was out there walking around in that field. He said, that place is full of scorpions. And the very place that you thought God was, that he was right beside your feet kicking off them scorpions. God works in silence. You don't have to have a bang-up show to bring God down. You don't have to use contemporary music that's nothing but rock music to try to bring God down to your level. A lot of noise. It's a lot of banging. A lot of sensual mess. God works in silence. You find your tree. I believe, Brother Jim, when the heat's on you, you can go just sit down somewhere and say nothing. And God knows your groanings. God knows your heartaches. God knows what's going on. Be still. And know that I am God. You know something else that I love about this? God is in control of our sorrows. Used to be just me. Then I married Carla. Then we had Todd, Troy, and Carrie. Now they're older. Now I have a son-in-law that's 6. I have a daughter-in-law. I have 4 grandchildren. That's 11. As life goes along, there's more opportunities for sorrow to enter your life. And the more is added on to your family. Brother Jim and Miss Joyce started out with them. I think it was 1932. And it's... Oh, I missed that, didn't I? But it was a long time ago. They just started out. You're the same way. Now you got houses. You got things that break. You got 2 or 3 cars. You got a job. You got employees. You got everybody. Look, folks, life is full of sorrows. And if you don't know how to take your sorrows and sort of lay them at the feet of Christ, you're going to be mixed up all your life. All your life. When you're out of control and see, like, my heart is breaking, it's been ripped out. Some innocent people are sitting out here today. Some man are innocent. Some woman left it. Some woman out here today, you're innocent. You're hurt. It's like my good friend. And this is what I told her. I said, ma'am, I want to tell you something. I said, if you'll let it, your best days are ahead of you. It's up to you what you'll do with it. It can't be, Brother Jimmy. I said, well, it's up to you. I said, I know you're hurting. And it's hurting her. But see, God is in control of our sorrows. He's in control of them. He knows it doesn't catch him by surprise. It catches us by surprise, but it doesn't catch him by surprise. He's still God. And if you have opportunities for sorrows, your children, everybody. I remember when Carrie was born, my daughter, when she was born, I got to go in the room with Carla, and she had the baby, and Carrie was given to me, and I went over and sat on the floor with Carrie. I mean, just birth. And I remember when I was in college, this is where we were there, we didn't have any money, so we asked the doctor, said, can we go home after the baby's born? We went in at 5:30, we were back at home at 10:30. And we had our baby. And I remember putting Carrie on my stomach, laying back on the bed, and just a little thing still curled up almost. And I'm not a singer, but I sang Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. I sang it to her. She ain't a few hours old. Everybody has high hopes for your children. But as they get older, you can have it ripped out of you. And when it's ripped out of you, you need somebody bigger than you who can take your life and calm it down. Be still and know that I am God. What does the world do out here? When they have a sorrow, they go drink. Give me more pills. Open up your life. Do what you want to do. Get you a little freedom. The world don't understand. Jesus says, be still and know that I am God. And God works in your silence. God's in control of your silence. Let me say this. I like this part here. God's in control of our successes. The worst thing, and I have never seen a teen idol program. I ain't interested in it. The worst thing that they could ever do is make a 16-year-old an idol. Ask Michael Jackson if you could. He died with drugs, and his family throughout his career begged him, don't take those drugs. And they knew he was taking those drugs. But when he was a little boy, he was successful. And Michael Jackson never grew up. His successes, he thought that was life. I can do anything I want to do. One of the worst things in the world for you is be successful and God's not in it. One of the worst things in the world could ever happen in your life. How many baseball players is taking drugs? How many basketball players? How many baseball players? How many movie stars? They don't even know how to live. They got to take something to control their feelings. Aren't you glad that we got a pill called the gospel pill? Amen. That's what we take. But you can lay your head down at night and sleep. God's controlling successes. Mom and Daddy, I want your children to be successful, but make sure it's centered around Christ. Hey, I'd be glad for you to be a millionaire. I'd be glad if you'd be a billionaire as long as it's centered around Christ. One of the most miserable men who ever was a billionaire is Ted Turner. Got money, money, money. Sometimes I wonder how Donald Trump, how does he exist? Bill Gates, how do they exist? It's all about money. That's their life there. But you and I've had a young evangelist come to me. I've been an evangelist, like the preacher said, 34 years. And I have them come to me and ask me for advice. And they want to start up here. They want to know how am I doing it. Hey, I'm 50-something years of age before ever God gave me a home. Gave me an academy. I'm glad. I'm glad I didn't try to do it when I was 30. But they want to start up here. And they want it. And one of them came to me one time and asked me a bunch of questions. And he wanted to incorporate and wanted a big truck and a big trailer to pull behind it. And he asked me all these questions. He said, man, I'm ready to go. I'm prepared and everything. I said, how many revivals you got? He said, none. I said, I believe I'd work on that first. I said, you're going to be home looking in a camper and looking in a truck and biting your nails to pay it. Let God be in control of your successes. Do you realize God's got most of all you people, if not all you people, exactly where He wants you so you can be a witness? This preacher right here is not going to get to see your employees. He probably will never, ever meet them, but you go around them every day. Successes. And so I'm glad that God takes care of our successes in that. Not like this. God is in control of our supplies. Memorize Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. And teach your family and teach yourself that prayer and fasting still works. Teach yourself that God is still interested in all your needs. If you need a blue dress, girls, pray for a blue dress. If you need a blue suit, pray for that. If you need shoes, I never forget one time I wore JCPenney shirts. I found out I use a lot of white shirts, and I've tried every kind to see which ones last. It seemed like they would last. And one time I needed some more shirts. They get dingy, you know, around there and around your collar, and I just like white shirts. And so I was praying one time. I said, "Dear God, I need some shirts, but I don't have no money." He said, "Go to the thrift store. Go to Goodwill. I get stuff at Goodwill." I walked in there, and I promise y'all, folks, promise you, I walked over to the rack there. I wore a 1634 penny shirt. There was 8 to 10 1634 penny shirts, white, starched. What'd you do? For about $33, I bought all of them. You say, God's not interested in that. I think God used a rich person to put them in there so I could have them. Now, that's how I believe. Because God is in control of your supplies. And always do that. Always realize it. God is in control of that. God's in control of what's going on in my life. And let me say this. God is in control of our situations. My brother got fired at 64 years of age. My brother was making a six-figure income. My oldest brother. A good Christian man. Loves God. Got a good wife. He got fired. I never forget, I was playing golf. I was on the 18th tee. The road goes right beside it. My brother pulled up right beside that 18th tee, and he hollered at me and said, "Come here." And I walked over there, and I bent down this room. He said, "Jimmy, I just got fired." I said, "Wonderful." He said, "What?" I said, "It's the best thing ever happened to your life. Now you're going to see God really work." And let me tell you, my brother don't make that figure no more. He's having to pray. He worked so hard, he couldn't go to Monday night Bible studies. He worked so many hours, he couldn't go to Wednesday night church services. He worked so hard, one day we were sitting in a restaurant and we were eating and I got to crying. He said, "What are you crying about?" I said, "If you hadn't gotten fired, we wouldn't be in here eating because you were making money." See, God's in control of your supplies. And now he lives day by day, week by week, and he has to budget and he has to cut corners and he has to do all that. But he's getting to be around his family. He's getting to go to Bible studies. He's getting to go to Wednesday night church services. He's getting to, sometimes we can actually meet and have lunch. Now you can have that rat race out there, or you can let God be in control of your supplies. And then you have a heart attack when you're 40. And then some other man gets your goods. No, we'll leave that alone, all right? I shouldn't have said that. Let me say this too. God's in control of your strife. If you live long enough, somebody's not going to like you. If you live long enough, somebody, you're going to have strife with them. I wish everybody was an independent Baptist and believed like we believed and things like that, but you don't have that. You got a strife out there in this world that everybody's got rights. Even sin has got rights. It's sad. And so strife can be produced. If there's strife in your home, it can be resolved. The devil's number one attack on you is to keep you, if you are saved, the devil's number one attack on you is to blow your testimony. That's what he wants. That's what he wants out of my life. Even at 64 years of age, he'd like to blow my testimony for me. And so strife can get in. It's just like churches. Thank God for Brother Parrish and you good folks. Y'all worked together for many, many, many years. God bless you. But there are some people, sometimes a preacher creates strife, sometimes people create strife. But in the economy of God, that shouldn't be. We should be able to settle that difference. I'm just saying to you this morning, God is in control. And he says, be still and know that I am God. Now, the first thing that you need to do, if you're going to let God control your life, you got to know him as your personal Savior. You got to know him. Not about him. Not as just a great man or a good teacher. He's our Lord and Savior, and he's the one that died for me. If there's anybody here today, you're not saved. Today ought to be the day you walk down this good preacher and say, I want to get saved. I want God to change my life. Because when God changes your life, everything's different. And he'll put you in a new direction. And you just can't get over how God will change your life and what God will take out of your life. But he'll give you a real life. And then you can put all your trust into him. I really believe, I don't know what you need today, but I believe God can supply. I do. You're his child. You're one of his children, and he wants to help you like that.